You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Saturday Night Live. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest SNL news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Saturday Night Live.
Whoa. Thank you.
Settle down. Thank you. AfterBuzz TV, we are the SNL podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you. Stop it. No, really.
Live keep studio audience.
Yeah, it's the...
We're spoiled.
Bust in. Mm-hmm. I'm Mario Hernandez, and with me today we've got my usual co-host, Graham. How high?
Sky high.
Graham. And Matthew.
Matthew Kyle, without a nickname yet, but I'm hoping
we'll
to
find
work.
One.
Yeah, let's work up
we'll
to that
find
level.
One for you.
In an hour, we'll be kindred spirits.
Yeah,
so I feel good about it.
Yeah, we don't know what the immediate vibe is. I didn't know Graham got high until we actually wrapped up the first day, and then went back into the alley. And then
we all smoked a couple rocks and
rocks. Okay, because I didn't think you were talking about rocks, but
No, we go hard. Yeah.
Okay, now I'm not so sure about you guys.
Welcome to Hollywood.
You know what's going to happen.
Thank you.
We are talking about Saturday Night Live, as always. Phil Svitek in the booth helping us out.
Thank you, Phil.
Looking beautiful.
Thank you. You guys look equally as good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Just try to reach your level, bro. The studio is looking pretty good. They did a little bit of remodeling here.
We are getting some money from somewhere. Mm-hmm. An angel donor, mm-hmm. I'm guessing, has blessed us. A Kickstarter project. Indiegogo.
You know what does help on a real serious note? By you guys.
Don't be serious, Phil. You're always serious.
I know. Well, seriously, guys, if you guys are listening, you know, it's by you telling your friends, your family, people you don't even know, people on the street, hey, guys, there's a thing called AfterBuzz TV. Yeah, and so the more you guys spread the word, the more we can actually do for you. So I'm glad you guys actually brought that up. Thank you, Graham. Right.
And I think SNL stands for So Not Laughing, if I'm right.
We're bringing out the knife.
Yeah, it's happening.
It's going down.
But he is right. I'm a viewer among this myself, so that's how. Well, I knew your lovely names before I showed up.
Yeah,
is that why?
Famous,
yes.
Man.
Oh, okay.
You are world famous.
Mm-hmm. We internet famous.
Internet famous.
Which is better than world famous, because mm-hmm. the internet will be forever.
Yeah.
The world will not.
We are immortals.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Channing Tatum was the host this past week, and what did you guys think?
I
hear a lot of whimpering.
High expectations.
For those of you listening on the podcast, the whimper is Hollywood code for what else can you do?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I don't think there were high expectations. So I think that was setting the bar at a reasonable level for him. And as far as everything I've seen him do, and I could be missing a few small pictures, but he's very dramatic and brooding and complex without saying much. And step up. Step up to, you know, what's that? Dear
Buffalo?
John. Yeah,
is
I think.
Really in Step Up?
I don't think I've ever actually seen any of his movies.
Never seen any of his movies?
I don't think so.
Do you have a girlfriend?
I used to.
Oh, see. That's the only thing that would drag you to see a Channing Tatum movie.
Thanks for opening up an old mm-hmm. wound. Oh, well, time to talk to you guys about that problem.
He was in G.I. Joe and Public Enemies.
Man, okay, those are manly movies that I guess me and Graham don't watch.
Yeah, man.
The Eagle?
No.
Well, I've seen him. I saw Haywire.
How was Haywire? Was
Haywire's
he good in
cool.
Okay.
Is he good in it? He's, you know, he plays the guy that is kind of sexy and fights.
And he's brooding and complex. All right? Are we going for that?
I suppose. He ends up being the bad guy with the heart of gold. Mm. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Yeah. You're going Haywire right now.
I am. I'm going Haywire with the spoilers. And he's, you know, he's in. Well, he's got an upcoming slate of movies, of course. 21 Jump Street, G.I. Joe.
He is hot right now.
He's
let
so
me
hot.
Tell you.
Well, he's opening up The Vow.
I think he's got five movies opening within the next year. So.
He's been working and working out.
Yeah.
Both of those.
Yeah, he's...
What's the fifth? I see four. You know something we don't. Here's AfterBuzz exclusive.
AfterBuzz exclusive. Channing Tatum project, Untitled.
Untitled Channing.
You gotta go.
TV exclusive.
Straight at your face.
That's right from IDMDBPro.com. So, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That's $15 a month, gang.
Yeah.
You're getting that for free. Yeah. That's serious.
Oh, no, not the
same. Can I just share your account? I'll throw you a couple bucks.
Yeah, what's your password?
Yeah. The password's QWERTY.
Okay.
Oh,
For me, Channing Tatum to me is like the high school quarterback that gets like a lead role in the spring comedy at school.
Right.
Like, he's charming. He's a cool guy. He has that physicality. It's not like he's a great comedian or anything, but he's charming enough. And it's also halfway. I felt like I wanted to laugh because if he didn't, he would like punch me through the TV. Like, it's just so...
You thought he would reach out to you on 3D TV.
Yeah. I can't afford that. I just cross my eyes.
You just smoke a lot of rock.
He's even dangerous on standard def, apparently, is what Graham's getting at.
Yeah.
Well, CRT. I think, the joke on the internet was, of course, that anytime humor failed, just show his abs. Because he did, I guess he showed his abs a lot, right?
I lost count.
That was the sense, even, you know, starting with the opener and beyond.
Right.
It was ab city.
I was going to keep a tab. I did have a tally going, but then I was like, never mind. It's going to happen. So I'd say it was probably about half, easily half. He was shirtless in some fashion.
I think so.
So it was a bunch of dudes like us sitting around late night, Saturday night, watching Channing Tatum.
Well, all I heard the lead up, obviously, to The Vow coming out, but as well as the lead up to the SNL episode, was like, used to be a stripper. Hey, Channing Tatum used to take off his clothes. And I was like, what is all this push going with him used to be a stripper, which apparently was like for 6 months in Tallahassee.
Right. Oh, that's why he got the Florida bit. Yeah. So he's from Alabama originally. Grew up a little bit in Mississippi, but then spent his teenage years in Florida.
Getting wild and crazy.
Where they make everybody strip there, I feel like. Florida is the...
Yeah, why not? It's hot. It's humid.
Now you're out of control.
So we've got to rein it in, guys. It is pretty hot in the studio, though. We may have to...
That's right. Stick around, those of you that are watching us on the internet.
Do some Channing
Tatum. Pull a Tatum, yeah.
Pull a Tatum. I feel like, I'll play basketball all night. Pull the Tatum.
Pulled up.
Rip my Tatum in half.
Surgery.
So, all right. Well,
I guess we can say.
Just so-so. Yeah. I think that's fair. You know, at the same time, we've talked about this before, how, you know, you want to cater the material to the host, and sometimes you know if it's a known quantity, like a Melissa McCarthy or somebody that you know can handle the comedy, then you can really kind of go balls out. But, you know, Channing Tatum, you're right, is known for certain types of roles. We don't know what his schedule was like leading up to the show, so, you know, sometimes they're on and sometimes...
If I can comment on that exactly, I think the one thing they could have done, and they should have done, and they do with a lot of other hosts, is write a script around his skill set, which is, we know, at least I think, he's brooding and complex. Write something that's just a one-off, a repeater, where he's supposed to be, you know, maybe they're filming something. Oh, I'm going to be brooding and complex. Joke happens. Yeah. Okay, we repeat the joke. We build on it. Something like that. That way, he doesn't have to stretch from what he does. He does what he does well, and it's funny because of the setting.
That
falls on writers and other people. But
do like a Nicholas Sparks kind of movie. Because last time we were talking about it, like, I realized he was in a couple of these that he should have lampooned that character that
exactly,
he's done
a lot. That's kind of what I'm getting at is,
you know. Have him do kind of a romantic, I would think rather than do, well, you're right, you could keep it simple and keep him, you know, on a movie shoot, but maybe even something where he needs to talk. So we put him in a situation, maybe he's like, he answers a suicide hotline. Mm-hmm. You know, he works at a suicide hotline, but all he does is kind of brood and just kind of mug for the camera. And meanwhile, the guy's like, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to jump. If you can just tell me what to do. You know, and then the guy kills himself.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Of course.
You know, just keep putting him in situations where you don't want him to be brooding, where we need action and we need words and we need to put him in Downton Abbey, for example. Mm-hmm. Channing Tatum.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that was a great bit in itself. But that was a great thing, you know.
Have him
make fun of Drive. Everybody's talking about Drive and how there's no dialogue.
Right. Channing Tatum in Drive 2.
Drive 2. Yeah. No words.
No words this time.
No words. Well,
a lot of just...
Oh, the Drive meets the artist. That's what we're going for, right?
Ah, there you go.
There's the segue.
So maybe they'll do something into
Drive 2 with the dog.
Yeah. Well, I mean, something other than him just like flashing his abs like the entire time, which it was funny here and there, but...
I'm sure the ladies and some dudes liked it.
Hey, man, I was a little jealous.
Of the abs?
You did, yeah.
Well, I've seen your abs. They're
in there somewhere.
They sound... I've heard them. I've heard your abs. Wow. When you get up really fast sometimes, mm-hmm. I've heard it.
See, instead of... my joke is, why have a six-pack when you could do keg stands?
Are we doing... There we are.
Hey, baby.
Channing Tatum.
Checking out that six-pack of his.
Rachel McAdams.
This is a digression going into the weird zone. I like this, though. That's cool music.
Drive 2. Yeah.
I haven't seen Drive, guys. I'm going to...
Oh, obviously, because this is from it. This is from there.
Man, I'm way behind.
You haven't seen Drive? You need to see Drive.
I know.
Drive
I've been awesome. Meaning to. I've been wanting to see it, but it's always
see
been
see it tonight.
Tonight?
Tonight. Do not let another day of your life go by without seeing it.
All right.
Go to your local video retailer or rental outlet and rent it.
Just
or
download it on your phone.
Yeah. That's all right.
Actually, I want you to watch it by the end of the show.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to be checking out. I have said, though, that I think I would be the guy that would get the jacket because I've just seen pictures of, what's it got?
The Scorpion jacket?
Yeah. And I'd be like, man, I already love crazy jackets, and that may put me off in the next edge just because I haven't seen it. But I know it's a cool movie, and it's already a cool jacket just by seeing it. I'm like, man, I'm going to be the chubby dude walking around.
In the jacket. Yeah, like. The 2010-ish version of the Beat It jacket, I believe, is what you're going for.
I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, so that was, okay, so that was, so now we have the sketch we would have loved to have seen. But let's talk about what we actually did see. What were some of your favorite
You mentioned
scenes?
The Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey I thought was very good. Now, do either one of you watch Downton Abbey?
No, I just heard about it, actually. All PBS, huge hit.
Yes.
Go PBS.
Yeah, it's really good. I've been watching it. I'm in the middle of the first season right now.
Oh, you're actually watching?
Taking my time with it. Yeah. Because there's only like 10 episodes. Oh. 7 and 7.
Okay, season 2 premiere, beat out Mad Men. PBS beating out Mad Men. Yes. This is breaking news. IMDb Pro. I'm giving you guys information.
Wow.
Beat out Mad Men's premiere?
Probably a rerun. But,
well, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
4 million viewers.
But it's still buzzworthy.
4 million viewers for them is
definitely
huge.
The biggest. Definitely the biggest one PBS has gotten. Yeah, sure. And those people that are tech savvy enough already downloaded it over the holidays and watched it because it was already in the UK. Shirley MacLaine is joining the third season. But anyway, we digress. Maybe we'll do a Downton Abbey podcast sometime. But yeah, it's funny because they really did kind of summarize the whole thing and they're making fun, of course, of the whole fact that it's not sexy because it's it's PBS and it's you know who watches PBS and who
I could the voice that they had it sounded like Andy Samberg.
Yeah,
doing
I think it was.
But, the whole like stoner guy watching it because I could imagine not as much nowadays, but a couple of days in my past, like just a couple guys like getting together and ironically watching Downton Abbey.
Right.
I believe there is at least 10 groups across the country, maybe more. They just smoke a lot, or maybe they have a drinking game. Like every time somebody ties a bow tie, they take a shot. It was like, oh yeah, there's a chicken lady. Whoa, I didn't know what she meant, but that probably burned. Like that was a pitch perfect. All I know from Downton Abbey is what Patton Oswalt tweets and retweets. Like I'll just like look at my Twitter feed, and he will blow it up with Downton Abbey. Like I want that vest, and I'm like, what the hell is this show? That's the first I've ever seen any of the show on SNL. I've only heard about it.
You only heard mysterious rumors of the Downton Abbey.
Yeah, I was just trying to piece it together from like miscellaneous tweets.
Well, I want to ask you, since you're a fan of the show, one of the bits they made fun of was a third party always listening in on conversation.
Yes.
And then that for me was something, laughter without knowledge, because I have never seen the show.
Yes.
But that part was my favorite part in that, because they built it and it looked like it was true. Yeah, is it true?
Yeah, no, it totally is. I mean, it's, you know, that's Shakespearean, that's sitcom, that's, but it's funny because what the kind of meta joke of that is that they're making fun, they're trying to make it's, you know, the success of the show is mind-boggling because it is PBS. It's basically, it's a masterpiece theater kind of thing. It's a period piece. It's set in the 1920s. It's right after the Titanic sinks. The sinking of the Titanic is what sets off the whole show.
Okay.
So when they try to kind of build it up and make it like interesting, they're saying all the things that happen on the show and trying to make it sound cool, but it doesn't, of course. You know, it's just, I mean, it's awesome. The writing is really sharp. It's very British. It's very like, you know, class warfare and that sort of thing. So it's an awesome show, but it's, that's what they're saying, is that they're making it seem like, you know, there's like intrigue and there's like, you know, people hiding in the corridors and dun, 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 when there isn't. I mean, people will overhear it and then, you know, kind of who knows what, and the kind of emotional kind of blackmailing of the information when one person knows something about the other. So that's what that was making fun of. But you're right. It's just, and then the chicken lady, which is funny because she does have these like really kind of bird-like faces that
I don't know who that actress is.
It's Maggie Smith.
Okay.
Oh,
from
yeah.
Sister Act.
Or Hook.
Yeah.
Or Hook.
Harry Potter.
Yeah. Right? Harry Potter. Oh, that's right. Harry Potter, of course.
Yeah. It reminded me of Gosford Park just a bit. I was like, is it like a Gosford Park kind of thing where it's all like suits? And
yes, upstairs. Like, it's like upstairs, downstairs. Yeah. You know, so we have the people that are, you know, living the dream, that are, you know, the royalty, and then of course the servants down below, and kind of their dual dramas and how they kind of interact and intersect with each other. There is a Downton Abbey drinking game, of course.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
You could take a drink. Here's some random ones.
All right.
Anytime someone pours tea.
Yeah.
That's frequent.
Every time one of the characters says the word slut. anytime somebody insults Daisy. Some of these you're not going to get if you don't watch it. Anytime someone applies hand cream.
I think that's the same list from Sex and the City.
I think it is, actually.
They just reposted that one.
Copy and paste.
It's pretty funny. So of course there's a drinking game with this. There's a lot of them, in fact.
But I think that's one of the best things about SNL that it brings to you, is it'll bring things to your attention, and even though it sets a joke and you might not be familiar with it, it actually makes you watch some stuff. I've watched movies because I've seen bits that I, you know, I've never seen the movie, and I'm like, why is this supposed to be funny?
Right.
And then you watch it and you're like, oh.
Well, the Dear Sister digital short, the What You Say, I had a roommate who watched the
Imagine Heap song.
Is it going to be, what's that from? And then I went back and watched the OC episode that it's from, and it's like, oh.
Me as well. Not only that, I downloaded the song.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a good song.
It is a very good song. Yeah.
Can't hear it anymore without thinking about 10 people getting shot.
No, right.
That is done.
Yeah. So it definitely, you know, Saturday Night Live tied into the pop culture ethos. I like the Newt Gingrich Moon President episode. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. After socialism takes over America.
President Obama. So we talked about this before. I've been saying how the political humor has just been falling flat because they're just retreading what we know, what, you know, their debate performances or, you know, Herman Cain's a horn dog or whatever. You know, Mitt Romney is a robot. These are all things that we know, but let's really blow them out. And this time they did. They went to the moon, of course, riffing on Newt Gingrich's, you know, moon colony idea during one of the debates. But I thought they did a pretty good job with it, because it's like, okay, if Newt Gingrich is going to be president of the moon, what else is true and what else are we going to see? And, you know, they had Mitt Romney wanting to join the team and, you know, watching.
Obviously, Newt Gingrich's wife.
Yes.
Yeah. Being Kristen Wiig, obviously, wonderful as always.
That's blinks. You know.
With I her have frozen no soul. Face.
I was really happy. I was like, oh, finally, they gave Newt Gingrich, like, a scene. Because usually he's just there with that stupid smile and, like, and I was like, all right, now we get to see, now that I guess Newt is a bigger part of, you know, the political scene.
Yeah. Right.
They're actually giving him some stuff to do. And, it was really good, I mean, to see him pop up.
And the best part is, even though he just recently said the moon stuff, I feel like when we watch that in future years, like, it's not going to matter where it came in the campaign, because it's like we hit all the people and what they were doing. So it was sort of time specific in terms of, you know, because he made that comment. We couldn't have done that sketch 2 or 3 weeks ago because he hadn't made the comment yet. But the fact that he said it, then you can make it, you know, anywhere along the campaign. It doesn't matter if it was, you know, November or February or April. We're going to look back on that and be like, yeah, remember that time Newt Gingrich said he wanted to be on the moon? That dude's crazy.
Yeah. It elevated out of just the headlines.
Yes, exactly. Made it its own thing, which sometimes they don't do.
No.
Yeah, and I appreciate it taken out of its normal setting. And a lot of common denominator I hear of a lot of people who watch SNL in the DVR age is they go, I skip the first bit.
Right.
You know, because they're like, it's political, I'm not so into politics and stuff like that. Right. That one's going to grab your attention because it's like, we're going to do politics, but let's do it in a different venue.
Just some dude standing in an office.
Exactly. Or we're doing podium speeches or we're doing an MSNBC, you know, two-shot thing. It's like, you know, we're going to put it on its ear and, you know, have a little fun with it. And I really appreciated that. Yeah. That's what I thought.
It created a whole world, which sometimes they don't do in the sketches. They just kind of, they refer to, you know, a time or a time past or whatever. But this is like a whole world where Newt Gingrich is now the moon president.
Was the robot supposed to be Reagan?
Yeah, it was the Reagan robot.
It was the Reagan robot? Okay, mm-hmm. I was like, brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a great touch. Yeah. And I mean, and obviously the Obama starter there. That was great, the socialism.
What other sketches did we like?
We liked...
I like that little... what do they call them? The pop-ups? The NBC...
Oh, or the NBC sportscasters.
The sportscasters.
Oh, the NFL...
NFL, yeah.
The little...
like it just starts off with the look.
Interstitials, but
is that an insert? I don't know what you call that.
Yeah,
the runner? 1/3 screen thing.
Runner, is that what they?
It appears right here.
Yeah,
on the screen.
We're in the business, and we should know. I think they said it explicitly in the skit. But anyways,
are you talking about a bug? A bug, perhaps.
That appears on the you know, that flashes out as an ad and then comes.
Hey Phil, can we film something? Can we put a bug of us on other people's after shows?
I think we could do that.
Can you we would do the look up to the camera and be like
poof. Looking all cash.
Yeah.
Well, you know? I forget what it's fully called. I know for those of you watching the video side, you can see our bug right there. It's the TV, and that normally that'd be like the CBS or the Peacock thing, or whatever. But the one that pops up, I forget the full name.
A pop-up bug. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
I feel comfortable. I think Phil's on board. You on board with that, Phil?
Sure.
Mario's doing some research. He's going
to
find out.
I'm trying to find out exactly what
he's,
it is.
But... he's knee-deep on a third page of Google right there trying to figure that one out. He's like, come on.
The format, and maybe we'll talk about the other one, the strip club one later, but both these seem to be like formulas for like one-liners, like jokes. Like you have the setup, but most of it is just kind of a way to put in like funny one-liners, like what Jay Farrow had, the "my little brother was born with no mouth, he doesn't like to talk about it" kind of thing. Like it's funny. It was like that's really kind of jokey stuff.
Right So maybe that was it. Maybe they kind of started with the jokes and said what's the situation where we can do, and then it just becomes you can almost envision it in the writer's room, and they say, all right, this is what we're gonna do. We just need them to say a bunch of weird one-liners. All right, let's go. Or you know, each person's assigned to one character or whatever.
The showbiz term for that is one joke pony.
Is it?
Oh yeah, the sketch comedy term for that, at least.
One joke pony.
Exactly, because that's what you're doing. You're gonna hit non sequiturs and you're gonna repeat them, and you're hopefully gonna build.
I like that, where it's like boom, the sting kept on coming back. They're like, all right, just go a couple in a row.
Yeah.
A couple of the times they missed the time. It was kind of tough how they did it, because they wanted to do the look up, you know. A couple of times they did miss the timing because they were trying to say the line looking up, and they're like, oh
yeah,
man,
yeah,
we're back.
I think so my favorite was the hair. Bill Hader's line is like, I just pulled it. There was a hair this long in my forehead, and I pulled it, and I think my belly button got deeper. And I was like, that was the weirdest one.
That was.
When Jack Daniels comes out, that's when all bets are off. They went with that one.
Well, they went with that one, and then that was the last one that popped up, the last bug. Yeah, no, I thought that was pretty good. I liked the password, which I know was kind of a retread of the previous one that she had done, where she does whatever the actress.
If that's not the second, it's the third.
Is it? You
know, I want to say there's three, but
yeah.
Was a little bit of a retread. She's fantastic as always. I almost want to see that character in another venue where it just has a little more space to sing, other than her hitting the one kind of note on
for
it.
For sure, to have her do a little bit more.
Maybe actually do a theater show or like a review of like...
Yeah, I mean, theater. It'd be great if you know, have some kids or something. You know, have her, you know...
Oh, that would be great.
Her career has fallen so low.
She's doing school shows.
She's doing
shows,
a preschool thing, you know? Yeah. She can, you know...
And really get dramatic and kind of queen.
Yeah, because it's such a solid character, and I'm sure she has a lot more to it than she's even revealed at this point. Yeah. But, you know, it gets marginalized, obviously, because they're doing the password setup.
Yeah,
and
which is its own thing. Although, and then I thought he was pretty good in that, considering a nice kind of antidote to her character.
Yeah,
him being this, I guess, weirdo astronaut.
He did have a psycho look.
Yeah, that kind of saw something in space.
Yeah, and I think that first time, I think they missed an edit or something. They were supposed to show a bubble on the first one, because on the second one they showed that like thought bubble. On the first one there was a weird pause and the music kicked, and then nothing happened, but there was space.
Right.
So. I don't know if we missed a funny visual there, but...
I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
It could have just been him being crazy. Actually, that maybe we had to fill in the thought bubble on our own.
Yeah, maybe if that was the case. I mean, it was... Yeah,
it was, no, but it was, it was definitely a mess up.
But the pause, we soaked it in.
Yeah.
He had the perfect astronaut's hair, though. I was like, that is every astronaut.
I told you, he has a huge, like, block head. This Channing Tatum's head is like...
He's 90% jaw, I think.
Yeah.
If you look at him in an x-ray.
Even now, like, I see the photos of him, and it's like, what's going on there? But it's mm-hmm. pretty funny stuff. So yeah, we did have some strip club stuff naturally because he's a former stripper. He's coming out in a movie with Steven Soderbergh, right? Magic Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So he alluded to it, of course, in his opening monologue where he was taking off his clothes. The first time we saw his abs, right? Mm-hmm. When he kind of pulled on his suspenders. And
mm-hmm.
what'd you guys think of the joke of finding all the people in the audience that he had danced for?
What made it work was like their reactions. Like if you don't want to be, of course, strippers. Right. Like, hey, I know you. I don't know. That's not me. I mean, my name is Bridget. But yeah. when it got to Leslie, I was the perfect, just like conservative, like guy that's just sitting by himself, doesn't mm-hmm. want to be noticed, and he starts toweling off his forehead.
Right.
And his line where it's like, I'm not sure, but you shouldn't stop, or something like that, where he was like, Leslie, come on.
Yeah, where he kept going. Yeah, exactly. And he's doing that like butt thrust thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then he killed him, obviously. Yeah. And that was a great ender for the bit, is right. when he killed him and the doctor appears. And then the doctor's the regular, well. You know, obviously. Yep. That was beautiful.
But you got to wonder, right? Of course, so many strippers out in the world, you know, they must be out and about, and how many of them do encounter. I do have a friend who said she stopped dancing when she had somebody from her real life basically show up at the club.
Oh,
and it was
man.
Just one of those where, like, she didn't want her...
When worlds collide.
Yeah, she didn't want... But even in college, we had a friend who danced at a nearby club. And then, coincidentally, I started working as... I used to do the in bathroom advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in there one time and was just like, hey, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know her, you know, kind of thing. So, yeah.
Feeling good in the bathroom.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess. Feeling like...
A little ostentatious with your over-talking there. Like, look at this. Hey, kind of know her. Hey. I'll finish up here.
Yeah, I just...
Somebody can towel off my hands because I'm that awesome.
That's right. And, yeah, that's it. Yeah, somebody can towel off your hands because you're awesome.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I guess I'm the only one.
I'm trying to get to that point in my career.
You're close, Greg.
Well, no, but I mean, in a strip club, that's probably, you know, nobody wants to touch your hands, right?
No.
I wouldn't want to touch anywhere. Anyone's hands.
There's nothing good going on in a strip club at any hour of the day, I feel. I was driving on Sunset. I saw a girl walk in at 2 p.m., and I was like, are people frequenting the strip club at 2 p.m.? I think they are.
Yeah.
That's...
They really are.
Now I think we're getting to social commentary, which I really was trying to engineer from the beginning of the show, so I feel good about that.
The state of stripping in America.
Mm-hmm.
Dateline, NBC presents.
Gotta pay the bills, man.
So what were some sketches that did not work for you guys?
You know what? The one that stood out most to me was the strip club. Obviously, it was the DJ. I think we can call him that. Mm-hmm. The strip club DJ.
Right.
Yeah, that was just... I think it was 7 minutes, if I calculated it wrong. No sketch should ever be 7 minutes.
Right.
There's no reason for that. And it was painfully just dull because it was non sequiturs again. I think a lot of the bits on this show were non sequiturs.
Yeah.
Then you end the show with a 7 minute what appeared to be stand up. You didn't have much else going on. It was broken up by some weird strippers, and you know, they had the little person dancing, you know, in like the Native American set. Then they had the Channing Tatum set. It's a construction worker. Not funny.
Right.
Like, they weren't funny. And they didn't seem like they were trying to be funny. And so what was the setting? Nothing came together of the purpose, you know,
of
the five W's of why you would do this. It just made no sense. And it was not good.
Last time we were talking about, I was wondering about, like, if they're going to do Chippendales. I mean, of course, they alluded here and there about stripping and stuff, but that was an actual strip club.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chippendales thing, what made it work is, like, these guys really committed to dancing. Like, Patrick Swayze and Chris Farley really were dancing. And all these guys kind of came out and just like, here you go, I'm going to shake.
No blocking whatsoever. It just seemed like they were like, hey, go out there and move. And, yeah.
It's like, you got to, if you're going to do male stripper, I mean, people want to laugh at that because it's silly. The only time I did laugh, I will say, the line where he says, my nephew doesn't have ADHD. Turns out he's just a dick. But other than that, he was just like a dirty Stan Lee. Mm.
Right.
Just, and I always thought it was going to break. You know, I did. There was a couple that I did like smirk at, and I was like, okay, when's it going to start?
Yeah.
And then it just kept going, and then I was like, when's it going to end? Because it was...
Channing Tatum's going to finally... He's the stripper, so he's going to come out here, and then it's going to happen.
Right,
it's
like, and you started with an opening monologue about stripping. You know, you're going to pay this off later in the show. That's what it seemed like.
Yeah, take it off, bro.
So you felt like you knew where the sketch was going, and it still didn't deliver.
Well, I mean, you gotta, if you're upping the ante, if you're going to be talking about male strippers, I mean, either the strippers have to do a really funny routine rather than just kind of phoning it in, or what the skit was about, which was just this guy doing one-liners.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You gotta knock those out of the park. But like you said, like, it's the end of the show, and it went on for 7 minutes. Like, something's got to hit here.
Yeah.
And I just put all my money on, you know, Channing Tatum doing something outlandish with stripping.
And right when it opened as a strip club, I was like, here we go. We're paying it off. Right, you know, we're paying off all this setup and all this talk.
Yeah,
and
it's 1 o'clock in the morning. All bets are off.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's kind of like, it's kind of like they showed up to write that day and Channing Tatum couldn't. And they're like, okay, we'll just write something else. And strip club set has been built.
Well, I think the bar mitzvah one, or the
bat mitzvah was
the one that kind of, where they were trying to do kind of a routine.
Yeah.
It took a little too long to get to the joke.
Yeah.
First of all, we know it's a bat mitzvah, and then just go to the dance. We don't need all this setup. Now we have a Billy Ocean character,
right,
which they only wanted. So 3 minutes later, he could be eating a chicken wing and go, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, really? You're going to spend 10 seconds on that?
Yep.
I thought once it got to the point of mom choreographed half, slutty older sister choreographed half, and now this dance is, you know, the melange of two.
Of the two.
I was like, kind of a neat idea. Just didn't pay off in the execution at all.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's tricky because something like that really does require a good choreographed routine.
Mm-hmm.
And time is of the essence on these shows where they, you know, they may not have time to kind of do that. Or like you said, do it with like a Chris Farley kind of thing where it's someone is clearly being bad at it, you know, and it's like, well, they're clearly on there just for the eye candy, or in the Chris Farley's, you know, what's the opposite of eye candy? Anti-eye candy. But it's like, just have them be goofy about it and not have it be a real thing. Have it be like, you know, my slutty sister choreographed this. Let me just then grind my crotch into your face. Like, why are you doing that? I don't know. The sister choreographed it. You know, it's something along those lines.
And I think kind of what you're speaking to is the interaction of it, because it was very passive. It was just Greek commentary on them doing stuff, and then they would pan and be like, I didn't do that. I did that. As opposed to them like actually directing them, you know, at the same time, have it more interactive with what's going on.
So maybe that would have been more fun to do the bat mitzvah rehearsal that afternoon. You know, it's like, we got to get it right for tonight. There's going to be hundreds of people there. Well, I'm not really much of a dancer. So, okay, well, we've simplified it. We're just going to have him jam his crotch into your face. Like, what? I don't think that's a, you know, something.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's just no stakes. I mean, once it went dirty, Kristen Wiig's character was not that upset. She was just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's like, not enough teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it, like teeth. Because, I mean, we've already seen, like, what was Will Ferrell and Sherry O'Terry? They did the cheerleader thing. It kind of reminded me, like, where they would kind of get a little dirty and weird, but then they would kind of do silly. Like, I dig that kind of dynamic going back and forth. Mm-hmm. But when you go silly, you need to go silly. And when you go dirty, you need to go dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go back and forth.
Yeah, and
but you just need
it.
Like, I liked, you know, patty cake and stuff and then grinding, but it just was, you know.
Well, and it's tough when you have a bit like that, that it's like, we need all this setup so we can get this little chunk to work really well. But if it doesn't work really well, you're screwed.
Then that's it.
Yeah. And that's it. It's not, you know, the cheerleader bit, they had fun interplay, and then they had fun dance.
Right.
So the setup was paying off the setup, and, you know, then you had double reward points for a Best Buy reference.
Best Buy.
And, of course, we need to talk about Lana Del Rey came on to defend herself on Weekend Update, which was, you know, all over the internets as well. Of course, it wasn't actually Lana Del Rey. It was Kristen Wiig, who did a very, very...
spot on, I might say.
Spot on or more close to the point. What we imagine her to be, you know, what we imagine, and we'll talk a bit about more on this when we talk about the news, because Lana Del Rey performed here in L.A. this past week.
Yes.
But I think Kristen Wiig did a version of the ethereal, you know, on stage, her on stage persona.
Everything we know Lana Del Rey to be was captured by the wonderful Kristen Wiig.
Another wonderful, you know, impression, because she's just so good. She goes for it.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody was talking about.
She justified her, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, she made up justifications in a way.
Right.
I feel like she kind of, not quite defended Lana Del Rey, but she made her... gave her a voice that Lana Del Rey.
I thought that was really cool about it. It was not mean spirited. When she came on, I was like, okay.
Oh, they're gonna,
And then they always had a cool defense for her, and it all kind of made sense at the end. And you're like, you can't hate her.
She's holding up the the musical integrity of past guests like Bubba Sparks and the Baha Men.
Baha Men, yeah.
Shaggy, which
Shaggy.
I was like,
Shaggy was a cheap shot. I was like, I kind of laughed at that, but I was like,
all those are like late 90s hip hop, right? Like late 90s, early 2000s. Like, man, that's a specific era that really everyone could be like, that kind
of
sucked.
When the economy was good, they were letting anything fly.
We were liking any of that stuff.
Yeah, I was like, cool, I'll pay $13 for Baja Men.
The funny thing about the Baja Men, I don't know if you guys know this, but like they replaced their lead singer, who had been like with the band the whole time. The guys have been together for like 20 years, a bunch of old dudes. And they replaced the old guy and got the new guy, the young kid in there to like kind of cater it to the young. And then they got these huge hits. So they basically like ejected the lead singer and were like, let's get a little boy in there who can like grind and that the girls go crazy about. And then they did Who Let the Dogs Out, which, you know, they're still collecting checks on. And that was that. So, yeah, that's, you know, it's a good defense, I think. Mm-hmm. It's like, just relax. It's entertainment, you know, but we talked about this. I wonder how many more times we're going to see this, especially when you have YouTube artists on. This week we have Carmen coming on, who made their name a la Justin Bieber from their big hits on the internet. Mm-hmm. So will they hold up live? How will they do on national television? Mm-hmm. How will they do in front of a live studio audience? They're all very different things than sitting in your living room or garage, you know, recording whatever and then nailing it. Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of pressure there. I mean, you're showing up. That's a big audience. You could have a mega A-list host and be, you know,
and still have them. Have them do live or even an actor, because you don't get a free pass if you're an actor because it's live. Mm-hmm. So you might be used to film acting, television, even theater. I feel like no one's really around to see it, but the people in the audience.
Daniel Radcliffe to Lana Del Rey. Got to hold up my end of the bargain here.
Exactly. I mean, too, you know, Daniel Radcliffe, who's been, I think, on camera since he was sperm. Yeah. That has been around forever.
No joke.
The crafty veteran. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, we're going to go to commercial real quick. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some news and some upcoming predictions and talk about the upcoming host for the show, including this weekend. Very exciting stuff.
Yes, please.
All right. We'll be right back.
After Buzz TV.
Hi. I was once like you. A lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And, like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different aftershows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
Yeah,
it's Saturday Night Live here on AfterBuzz TV.
We're in the Rockefeller Center of the West Coast.
That was a spot on Don Pardo, I thought.
Oh, thank you very much.
Just one day, speak like that.
Just all day long?
Yeah.
Just do Don Pardo.
Triple soy latte.
What do you mean it's benign?
Now you're doing Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? Why are they doing that?
What's with Saturday Night Live?
It used to be funny. You know, we didn't talk about the musical guest.
I enjoyed very much.
What did you think?
Bon Iver.
What did you think?
Never heard of them before.
Really?
Mm-mm. Never did.
Okay.
Never did. I guess I don't have my ear to the ground. I'm not with the kids. But
are you an old fart?
I am an old fart.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why.
That does sound funny.
I thought they were excellent. The first song I was sold, I was like, I think I might be buying this CD. And then I did.
All right.
So,
and how does it sound?
iTunes. I didn't listen to all the songs. I listened to like half. Five or six of them.
Mm-hmm.
All solid.
Okay.
All really solid.
Okay.
Everything holds up to the single. I like their kind of mix of like a James Taylor / Dave Matthews Band / Future.
Phil Collins in there.
Phil Collins, thank you for the drums.
Yeah.
I agree with that 110%. But I like Phil Collins.
Yeah.
And I'll say it out loud.
I did not enjoy them.
No, really?
I'm not a fan. No.
I feel embarrassed. Wow.
That's all right.
I feel embarrassed.
Stop.
I put myself...
That's like the first negative thing I've said about anybody on the show. I'm just saying I did not enjoy it.
I put myself really out there.
You really did.
I feel
and
weird.
Now we can't be friends. Sorry.
Awkward. I'm just trying to
I'll get over it.
Gotta pay your dues, bro.
No, I think next time keep quiet on your show.
Damn it.
No, I'll tell you what.
I thought they sucked too.
I tell you. I didn't say they sucked. I'm just saying they're not for me.
Right.
And it's funny because I've actually seen their live stuff. They performed last year and in Brooklyn and did a great show in Prospect Park. And I seem to like them then. I don't know what has changed since then. I think it was the combination of that kind of wispy falsetto and the fact that the microphones were turned down really loud. So it's like, I think when I have to kind of lean in to hear it, I think you're losing me. Like I shouldn't have to come to you. The music should be coming to me.
Mm-hmm. But you want to know why I dug that?
Why?
Because the dude was whispering and he had two microphones.
Yeah, two mics, man.
What an all-star. Why do you need two microphones? I don't know.
Because
I'll buy your
whispering.
CD because of it. Yeah, apparently.
He was whispering.
Apparently they had a Foley artist like building a shelter around him to pick up all the noise, but come on.
An
two
echo
microphones?
Chamber.
I was like, geez. But you get a double-necked guitar. I'm a groupie. I'll move stuff. I don't care.
Double neck, 12-string guitar each.
Right, 24 strings.
Yeah. Well, okay, you're the deciding vote, Grant. Yeah. What do you think?
Actually, I'll split the difference. I liked the first song, and I did not like the second song.
Wow.
You are the bread between the Big Mac right now. Not concede.
The second one was the Phil Collins-ish. So I love Phil Collins, but that song was just too, like... contemporary alt,
Death Cab
like,
for Cutie a little bit
even before it felt like early 90s soft rock, like with all the you know, just like two
no keep
they're
going.
All grooving.
Keep going, finish it.
I think so you're not a fan of Steve Winwood's Higher Love is what you're saying.
Well,
I like Steve Winwood.
Yeah.
I like
Steve Winwood.
Steve
Winwood's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got a little bit of that from them. A little bit of Sting. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, man, it's all good.
It's a mix.
Just,
it's a mix.
But you can argue that all of these acts that you're mentioning, so you said James Taylor, Dave Matthews, Sting, Steve Winwood.
Death Cab for Cutie, I'd throw in there.
Death Cab for Cutie. Mm-hmm. These are not hard. These are not strong. These are not, some would say not rock and roll. That's
right.
Leans towards a more kind of adult, poppy kind of sound. Although I don't know about Death Cab for Cutie too much. But, yeah. So, and you said James Taylor's the first one, and I do not like James Taylor. That's probably my least favorite musical. But I will say this about Bon Iver. Bon Iver? Bon Iver.
It's Bon Iver.
Yeah. Bon Iver.
I thought it was Ben Iver.
Me too. I thought it was a solo dude.
So we can just think of it as one word then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bon Iver.
It means have a good winter. It's like bon voyage in French.
Bon Iver.
Bon Iver.
You see?
Bon Iver.
We're learning.
Oh, so it is Iver.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Iver. All right.
Like, so that should make you like them because you learned something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you guys want to know, this may give you a clue of why this guy's a musician. He was trying to be a musician. He got sick at the time. He was living in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I grew up.
Okay.
Got sick. His band broke up. He moved to Wisconsin and spent the winter up there. So that's kind of where the soft, really whispery kind of sound comes from, I guess. Like just spending the winter in a cabin in Wisconsin and like you're sick and you just moved away from your dreams or something.
Wow.
I think that's where this guy is getting all of his inspirado.
Okay.
So Bon Iver, it's kind of emo-y in a way. Not like emo-emo, but,
right.
You know.
Neo-emo.
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 You know.
Wow,
but yeah, that's I was like, who is this guy? Where is he coming from with this stuff? So, Bon Iver.
But my absolute favorite artist, who is Peter Gabriel, does cover one of his songs on his Scratch My Back album. So
nice.
So I like I like it when Peter Gabriel covers Bon Iver.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this isn't the last we're going to see of him.
Oh no, not at all.
And
you know, it's what we talked about, how you know SNL is now mixing it up. Not that song though. Thank you. And actually, I wonder what Bon Iver is covering, because Peter Gabriel covers them, and then they were going
to
cover Peter Gabriel.
I need an antique Zippo to hold up right now.
Thanks. Oh, okay, yeah, so Bon Iver did Come Talk to Me, did a cover of Peter Gabriel's Come Talk to Me while they
a great
did
song.
A cover of Flume. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good little track. Mm-hmm. So let's come
gossip.
Up with some news, some gossip,
gossip.
In the world of SNL. As always, SNL at the forefront of what's going on. We lost
AfterBuzz TV News.
That's right. The trouble on the 405 this morning is a dump truck full of chickens and sausages fell over. But it was breakfast for all. So we lost a cast member. We lost Paul... Britain.
Which my odd fact, if we're going for odd facts.
Here we go, yes.
Yes. Bob Newhart's nephew. Bob Newhart's nephew is the one who...
So do you think the Don got on the phone the moment he heard and was like...
Not so very... Wicker furniture. Really, yeah. I don't know any Bob Newhart bits. That's the only one I remember. He's talked about pooping out wicker furniture.
Does he really?
Yeah, that's a Bob Newhart bit.
I'll have to look that up.
Check it out.
See some
circa 1981, probably. Mm-hmm. So we're getting contemporary.
So really
Paul,
good.
Yeah, Paul Bretagne. So he leaves the show midweek.
Which is the interesting detail, right? Because you're saying, why?
Because why would you ever leave a show? Well, the report came out Friday, so let's say it happened Thursday. Mm-hmm. Why are you leaving a show that starts writing on Tuesday on a Thursday when it shows on Saturday? Mm. It seems a little odd, suspicious, canned. Maybe that's a strong word.
I think we should reach out to him and be like, have him come on the show. And
come on the show.
And give your side of the story.
Say your piece, because something obviously happened there. All of a sudden, it was for him to pursue other projects. I don't know about projects pursuing other people that quickly. You know, things are laid out. There's money to be paid and structure to be formed. And
he didn't seem like he generated quite enough buzz. Not an after buzz, but
I would argue that at least he had a couple things going. I thought he had a lot of promise. He had the Lord Cecil character, which was actually catching a lot of steam. You know, there were a lot of people who were starting to dig that a lot.
Now I wonder, when you do those characters on SNL, do they become property of the show?
They do.
Yeah,
they do. Now you could probably work something in between there.
Yeah,
I know you could. Yeah. But it's definitely anything you do. That's why anytime you see, obviously, a movie, obviously, Lorne Michaels is executive producing it.
Yeah, because it's his show.
Yeah, so that's a way for him to keep the rights, and not only that, he gets more revenue from the movie, so he gets it in all directions. That genius. Mm-hmm. But it's just suspicious. Why are you leaving all of a sudden in midweek to pursue other projects? Are they that pertinent? I hope so. You know, I think, you know,
I think there's probably something else.
Yeah. You think, you know?
Well, that's a price you pay when you're Bob Newhart's nephew and everyone's gunning for you.
Yeah.
Like Paul, reach out to us and let us know what the real scoop
Please
is.
Please do, Paul.
It'd be great
I enjoyed
if he
Lord
showed
Cecil.
Up 5 o'clock shadow, like half booze, like, I gotta tell you what.
He might end up looking like Macaulay Culkin. Yeah. Did you see those photos?
Oh, I did see that today. The gaunt and bearded Macaulay Culkin. Check that out.
Looks
Google.
Like Willem Dafoe after a hardcore bender.
Yeah, he looks like bad news.
Yeah.
But you would be too if Mila Kunis left you and then
made a huge career
for 8 years.
How did that happen?
He is really home alone now.
Hey,
camera take.
Oh.
Thank you.
Yep.
The other big news, of course, not big news. These are news. Lana Del Rey did perform here in Los Angeles. She was at Amoeba Records, and fans were very supportive, very kind to her, and very happy.
That's good to hear.
There's a funny little YouTube with a fan having a meltdown after he takes a photo with her. Just crying his eyes out, which is kind of...
I saw her on David Letterman, and she did video games. And it was a lot better this time. And David Letterman seemed really impressed with her, too. Not too much a change. Like, she still has that kind of persona.
Right.
But it was definitely more polished and put together than the SNL one.
Yeah, so. The first I ever heard of her was from the Saturday Night Live appearance. Yeah. And my funny backstory on that was I was actually at a housewarming. The party was starting to run down. We turned on the TV, but the TV was muted since we were at a party. And we all just turned and started ragging on this girl. We didn't even hear it. It was just about the performance and how weird it was. Only later, the next day, did I hear about this big blow up. I went and researched it, listened to her performance, which was abysmal.
Yeah.
And then listened to her actual, music song. Video, which was fantastic.
Right.
So I was like, I don't know what to believe. This girl's two people. She's singing. She's not singing. She looks cute. She looks like she's from Jersey. I don't know what's going on. But
we love New Jersey.
We do love New Jersey.
We do love New Jersey. Mm-hmm. But New Jersey and Florida are the go-to punchlines when you want to do. Also in the news, Melissa McCarthy is rumored, well, not rumored, Chris Rock said this, that Chris Rock is writing a script where he and Melissa McCarthy are going to be a couple, a Jerry Springer couple, according to him.
How fun is that?
Yes.
So she's coming out in a couple of movies. She's with Jason Bateman in Identity Theft.
Okay.
And she's going to be co-starring with her better half, John Hamm, in the movie Dumb Jock. But I would love to see a Chris Rock, Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
She also got a pilot going for her husband.
For her husband,
yeah,
really?
So, and if people do not know, her husband was actually the guy who played On the airplane, the air marshal, in Bridesmaids. So that's actually her husband, and he just got a pilot greenlit really late. But yeah, with him and another gentleman.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah, he's
so get your headshots in, folks.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Late submissions. Looking for a talented comedic actress to marry me and give me some.
They did. I think that was in the posting. It said something about wanting Graham. I didn't know what it meant at the time, but it said if you know,
I'll do it. I'm desperate.
Cool. He'll do it.
Just send a picture of your abs.
Yeah. That's cool. Send a picture of your abs and just sign it and then say no scale. Yeah. He'll know what it means.
Yeah.
I'd like to. I read that Daniel. This is a little bit of gossip, but Daniel Radcliffe, right after the SNL, or like a week or so.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes, yes.
He came out saying that he filmed some scenes like still drunk from the night
before.
In Harry Potter.
That's right. Like, Daniel Radcliffe was drunk while making Harry Potter.
Yeah. So now you can make a drinking game out of that, going back and try to, every time he seems like he's drunk in one of the movies,
take a shot. There's that scene in one of the Harry Potters where he keeps dropping his keys going into his little dorm room. So.
Don't patronize me.
That's true. That's very true.
I'm Harry Potter.
And he keeps asking everybody if they love him and stuff.
Wasn't that weird?
Like, Apprendi and Medicin love me? What does that mean?
So
that seemed off the book.
It's pathetic.
I didn't finish that book, though.
Now, if you don't, for those of you out there that don't listen to Alec Baldwin's wonderful podcast called Here's the Thing out of WNYC in New York, you really should download it and listen to it. Sometimes he's got really great guests, and sometimes he's got the Kardashian's mother on there. Mm-hmm. But this last week, or 2 weeks ago now, he had SNL producer and creator Lorne Michaels on there. It was really, really wonderful, really awesome. Good in terms of, you know, his early career and what he did. He actually came out of radio, and SNL was basically like his second TV show that he did. He's Canadian.
Of course. As they all were back in 75.
Yep. It was like, no Americans doing anything funny. Mm-hmm. They were all in Vietnam. Working for
real random
Francis
quip
Ford.
I'll put in there for the people who love the internet. Dan Aykroyd has web feet, and there's a video of it because I looked up 10 weird disabilities for celebrities. One was the Megan Fox thumb. She has like half a thumb. No, look it up.
Stop,
it's interesting.
Stop. You're rocking my world. I can't do it. We got, of course, this weekend, Zooey Deschanel is going to be hosting.
Yes. Who does not love Zooey?
She's wonderful. No.
Zooey. Zooey Deschanel.
And so now we're going to move into some predictions. So we have Zooey Deschanel this Saturday. We've got Maya Rudolph and Sleigh Bells next Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then from the Alec Baldwin podcast, the rumor is that Jonah Hill and Justin Bieber are both going to, Jonah Hill is confirmed for March 10th, and Bieber is still up in the air. But let's talk about this weekend, Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah, I think that's going to be great.
I think so.
Yeah.
What kind of sketches can we expect?
Three things come to mind. The adorkable thing. I don't know if they're going to try to riff off of like all the girls are going to do an adorkable kind of thing.
Nope.
Thought about She and Him, which is like her duo thing.
Oh, right.
With, and Carmen's that same kind of thing.
Where so it's dueling like, coffee shop.
Maybe
Battle something. Of the Coffee Shop Bands or something.
Yeah. Like if they could riff off. I mean, these are just things that line up that I'd love for them to do that they never do. If she could do a Katy Perry skit. When Katy Perry was on, I was hoping she would do a Zooey Deschanel because they just need to admit that they look. Like, just one has.
They both have, like, the Betty Boop, big, wide blue eyes, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But that's the three things I would like to see, which definitely aren't going to happen.
Matthew, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, you know what? I think that the adorkable thing's a must.
Yeah.
I think they got to play on that. I think anything. She's got a lot of range, I think, in a comedic sense. So I think they got to do something with her depressed. I think a Joseph Gordon-Levitt appearance might be in the works.
Ooh.
I have that feeling. Especially, I'll jump ahead to the Maya Rudolph thing.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be, you know, when an SNL cast member comes back, it's like, hello.
Yeah.
And then you get like five of them. So that'll be really great to look forward for her episode.
I'd like to see a Bridesmaids reunion that weekend.
You know? That would be super cool. I was expecting a little more for Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy, yeah.
But good job not doing that because she didn't need any help.
True.
Just like, go out there and be funny build a set around you and stuff like that.
And of course, Carmen is the musical guest. If you haven't checked them out on YouTube, check them out. Mm-hmm. They're actually pretty interesting. They're good. They're good. Not
for everyone, I imagine. But again, I like that SNL is reaching out and kind of doing the kind of new media thing, because that's what we're all
about.
Yeah,
totally. I think it's a great venue for new artists, and if they're able to the task. You know, I know like Ellen DeGeneres' show, she's huge on that now. She has like her own record label, so maybe she's pushing an agenda there. But she has a lot. If you have
the JCPenney agenda.
Mm-hmm. The JCPenney agenda. That's right. That's another issue. But I think it's really cool. Like, let's see some new stuff and get crazy, and it's SNL. You know, let's see somebody like rip the Pope again. That's been a long time.
It's been a long time. So let's cross our fingers and hope that Zooey Deschanel rips the Pope.
Yeah,
this weekend.
Yeah, I think so. I feel good about that.
We're good. We'll deal. And if remember, if that happens, you heard it here first, folks.
That's right.
Yeah.
IMDbPro.com. That's my password's QWERTY. Username forever handsome at Yahoo.
So you guys got anything coming up? Anything you want to plug? Anybody?
I'm going to try to do some open mic tonight in the Silver Lake Lounge.
Fun, Silver Lake Lounge. I am at Flappers in Burbank. That's a comedy club, if you do not know. February 24th in the Yoo-Hoo Room.
Okay.
And other than that, I'll probably be paying these guys back with back rubs in about 5 minutes.
So. Are you on Twitter? I know you guys...
I am not on Twitter. You can visit my homepage if you want to see what I'm up to. That is MatthewKyle.com. MatthewKyle.com. See what I'm up to. And all my clips and fun stuff.
And I know we got IamGrahamHigh.com.
That's right.
You can follow Graham High on the Twitter. I am Cinemario, CinemArio.
What?
Thank you, everyone that came out to see me this past week at the Comedy Store. I've got nothing lined up, so I'll let you guys know if I do.
Please do.
Well, I will be in line.
Phil Svitek in the booth, as always. Thank you so much,
Phil. Thank you, Phil.
Be sure to follow us. Tell all your friends about us. Call in if you're listening to us live. If not, send us a telepathic message.
Sunday? Are we doing this?
Are we coming back in on Sunday?
We'll be back Sunday. It was just the Super Bowl, so too many people were like, "Nah." Yeah.
All right, so Sunday, check it out. Zooey Deschanel tomorrow night, and we'll be back in the studio on Sunday. So make sure you tune in then. If not, we will see you next time. Thanks so much, AfterBuzz TV.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Hey, buzz you later.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.